Let's begin.
Okay, the Gemara says on Memalfun Beis, we want to do this topic to the Nichum Avel. We didn't finish up Binam Chaver, so maybe tomorrow we'll finish up that. Another topic. But let's see the topic here at hand. Gemara says in Sukkah on Memalfun Beis, Tanya quotes a Braisa. Rav Elazar Rav Tzadok Omer, Kachaya Min Hagen Shalan Shi Yushalayim. This was the minig of the men of Yushalayim. What would they do? Adam Yotzim in base of lulav of Yoro. A guy would leave his house with his lulav in his hand. He wouldn't just leave without his lulav. And he loved the lulav so much on Sukkah, he kept it with him the whole time. It's mashma, Sam Sofer points out in the Chidushim, the Maskal Yotze, it's mashma that it was the derech to say the bracha and shake the lulav at home, and then they would walk to shul with the lulav and daven and howl. It's interesting. Yeah, because it's mashma that they had already done their, you know, it's mashma they had already been shaking the lulav, I guess, you know. I don't know how he makes that diuk, but that's what the Chasde David writes in Tosefta too. It's a riot to the minig of the Arizal. You know what the Arizal's minig is? That they used to shake the lulav before davening. They used to shake the lulav before Hir Daniel. They used to shake the lulav before davening so that I could see it. They could shake the lulav before davening. And this is a riot for the Arizal. In fact, I learned with a Bala Boss, who's a great Talmud Chacham. He told me this minig was of his father's. He would always shake the lulav before going to shul. Some have a minig to do it in the sukkah if you like the Arizal, you know? So I thought you should do it. I said, how can you do that before davening? But this is a riot they want to bring. But I don't see what the riot is. How do you know they did it at home? You know what I mean? I mean, you get the impression from this whole Tosefta that everything was done extra. You know what I mean? That's what I think they saw it from. In other words, you were yotze in the morning already, and then you're so attached to the lulav, you hold the lulav the rest of the day. That's where I think the Chasam Sofer and the Chasde David and the Tosefta saw this from, and therefore they bring a raya for the Arizal. Because normally that's a chiddush. You're not really supposed to be engaged in mitzvahs before davening. You know what I mean? I mean, you can learn before davening if you have a zman kavua, a mini kavua, you won't forget to daven, but it's not so simple that you do all these mitzvahs for the first mitzvah you're supposed to do is daven. Unless you have a set shear. But here you see Zariah for the Arizal on Hagen. Yes, Stephen, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You got it? Okay, good. All right, let's continue now. It says, V'holuch lebeis akenesku lolovi biyado. The kore kriya shema, mispao lolovi biyado. And actually when he would say shema and daven, he would have the lulav in his hand. Which is a big chiddush, because normally you're only allowed to hold a what? You're only allowed to hold a sit in your hand. Otherwise, it's what? It's going to disturb you. So the Gemara has right beforehand that Amemar, when he would daven with the lulav in the hand. And the Gemara asked the Kasha before, the piece right before, and it asked, but you're not allowed to hold a tefillin in your hand or a sefer Torah in your hand. So how could he do that? So you know what the Gemara answers? He says, there's no mitzvah in holding a tefillin and a sefer Torah in your hand. So since there's no mitzvah, it's wrong to hold that during Shmoneh Esrei. But there is a mitzvah to hold your lulav. You follow what I'm saying? So therefore, anytime you're engaging in a mitzvah, it's not a problem. That's why if you hold your sit or your machzor, that's part of the mitzvah of davening. But you could say lulav is not part of davening. But lulav is a mitzvah. Holding the lulav throughout the day is a mitzvah. So that's what we assume is okay. All right. Problem is, kishikori b'toira, when you read from the Torah, you got a problem. You got to put the lulav down, because in order to roll the sefer Torah and open it, you need your hands. If your lulav in your hands, you can't do that. Now, the Mordechai here in Simon Tuf Shin Samach, I gave it to you, says here's a raya that someone who lanes has to hold on to the Eitz Chaims. You know what the Eitz Chaims are? The parts of the Torah that you roll. Believe it or not, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Kuf Lamates Sif Yud Aleph that someone who reads in the Torah and at the time when he's saying the bracha and he lane should be holding the Eitz Chaims. I don't know. I see a lot of people do that. I do that when I get the Aliyah. But when you guys lane, do you see guys do that? I don't see guys do that at all. They just use the pointer, no? Maybe on the left one, the hand. That you're going to say? I mean, the left hand, you know, when they're looking in, their left hand is on it, yeah? Is that what you see also? I guess that's how you yotze it. But it's a din in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to do that. Not just during the Ola that gets the Aliyah, but also the Laner. Where does it come from? It comes from this Gemara, says the Mordechai. Interesting. So the Mechaber Ramah quote this Mordechai. That's what you're going to say, Stephen? Good, good.
I was going to ask, go ahead. I think I learned in the Mishnah Gemara that the person who's getting the aliyah should hold on while
he says the bracha.
Also
during the aliyah, you're saying. But does the Baal Kore have to?
Have you even seen gabbais that also hold the top half to help when there's going to be rolling? So they just always hold it.
Right. In other words, I hear what you're saying. In other words, the guy that gets the aliyah reads along quietly with the Baal Kore. He also might hold it, you're saying, the right side. But do laners hold the left one? Is that true? I don't know if they all do, you know? Maybe the din is only for the Baal Kore, though. I mean, and maybe the old is considered the Baal Kore because he repeats the words, but I don't know. Okay, we got to look into that more. I was bothered by that. Okay, let's continue. And then it says, Noses Kapov, when you duchen, obviously when you duchen, you put your palms together, you can't hold it. So, Menicha Gabi Karka. In those two instances, when you're laning and you're duchening, you put the lulav on the ground. Now, how do you put it on the ground? While it's erect. While it's horizontal. I'm sorry, while it's vertical. You don't put it laying on the ground, and that's not considered to be an embarrassment of mitzvah, because it's only for a short amount of time. And then the Braisa picks it up. If you go back into Beis Medrash to learn now, here you give it over completely to your hand of your son, your hand of your eved, the hand of your shliach, because since you're going to be busy with your learning, we're afraid it's going to fall and break. But you don't put it on the ground. Why don't you put it on the ground in that case? Because it's going to be a long time. And to put it on the ground for a long time is not bekovedik. Okay? And there's a chashash that might fall. The Rabbi Yonah in Brachas I gave you, and Yudal and Beit Zermaskal Sakin. What does Rabbi Yonah say there? And the Rebbe Lunil, he gives a different shot. What was his shot? You know, when you go into Mishmedesh, you have to learn with your whole heart, your whole kavana, right? That's what he said, yeah? And therefore, if here you're holding the mitzvah, you're not going to be able to, because your mind will be focused on the lulav. So he gives a little different reasoning. Rashi says it'll just fall out of your hand and break. So Rashi is more of a din in the lulav. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbi Yonah Salunu, it's more of a din in the what? Din in your learning Torah. We don't want it to disturb your learning Torah. So there's a little bit of a difference. It's a good example, methodologically, when you're learning something, you have to add, is it a din in what? Is it din in the lulav, or is it din in the what? Din in the learning. Yeah? So Rashi is a din in the lulav, because it might fall down and break. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Salunu, it's a din in the learning. You want to put your whole heart into the learning, and therefore if you have your lulav, it might take away from that. So that's a problem. Okay, good. So that's the whole brisa. So the Gemara comments, I also want to just point out to you that it's an amazing thing, and we're going to get back to it, but it's a startling thing. This is Yontif for Chol HaMoed. What are you talking about Nicham Avelim for? I thought there was no Avelis in Yontif. We're going to get back to that. The truth is, we'll have to see, because the Mishnah writes in Moed Katan on Chav Zayin Amal, it says Menachem Avelim B'Moed. It says you are Menachem Avelim B'Moed. You are Menachem Avelim B'Moed. So it's not so startling, but we got to see. Also, I want to just point out, even though you say Osik Mitzvah Patim in a Mitzvah, the bottom line is, if you can do both, you do both. So when you're Mavakar the Chayla, and you can do both, it's fine. You follow me? Not only is it fine, it's better to do both, right? Now there is a principle, I don't know if you're familiar with it, called Ein Osim Mitzvah Chavilas Chavilas. You're familiar with that? You're not supposed to make mitzvahs in the packages. The Gemara has it in a lot of places in Shas. In Psochim, has it in Brachas Daf Mem Tes, Psochim Daf Kuf Beis. And you're not supposed to, you know, kill two birds with one stone. That's not the way you view mitzvahs. Like if you have to give mesot to the two women that are sotas, you don't do it at the same time. Because the Rashbam says it looks like Mexican masui, looks like a burden. You don't want to make mitzvahs look like burdens. And what does Taisa say in Moikon Chesem Beis? A different reason. It's a problem of kavana. You want to be able to focus. So you want to be able to focus on the mitzvah. And if you're making it in the doing two mitzvahs at the same time, you won't be able to focus. So why is this not a problem in Osim Mitzvah Chavilas Chavilas? So that's only when you say a lot of brachas together, right? But he says that's only when you want to say a lot of brachas together. He says it's a problem. But I don't really understand that, Lamaisa. It's not really true. My response would be as follows. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah of lulav. It's like the bonus of lulav. It's the kiyum, you know what I mean? It's like the kiyum of holding lulav the whole day. Einos mitzvahs when you're doing both mitzvahs at the same time. I did my mitzvah lulav in the morning. This is just a bonus, you know what I mean? The kiyum. So I don't think it falls under the rubric of einos mitzvahs at all. That's what the Chasdei Dovin in Tosefta says, a different shot. He said it's only when you say brachas together. It's not really true. We had it by the two sotas, you know. Yes, Stephen, go ahead.
If it's only just a bonus, then wouldn't you say mitzvahs and mitzvahs if you're not doing lulav?
Yeah, you're saying it's more than a bonus, you mean. It's a kiyum, you know what I'm saying? It's a kiyum. It's a kiyum, a mitzvah, you know what I mean? You did the lulav in the morning, your yotzeh, but there's a notion of like the nanuim of shaking, and then there's a notion of a kiyum of holding on to the lulav the whole day. Which the Gemara is going to say, so, but I would say it's a kiyum, you know what I mean? It's, when we talk about osik mitzvah, padam mitzvah, you're right. That's why we had to say, if you can do both, do both. It's a kiyum. But to say that you're doing something wrong by packaging the mitzvahs together as a bundle, and making them look back, I don't think it's true. That's only when you do the two meisim together. Like you feed the two sotas together. The Eved Ivri, you pierce both Eved Ivris at the same time. That's when you do the meisim together. You say the brachas together. When you do the two meisim together, that's a problem in Usim Chavilas Chavilas. When you bring the meal in, the two babies together at the same time in the shul, to have the meal. The question is the meal the Isser, or is it bringing them in? It's Machlis Ram and Taisis. But whatever it is, it's not. I don't think it's an afterwards of the mitzvah, which is a kiyum. You follow what I mean? That's what I would say. He says different the chazanim. He says you're not saying the. It's only when you say the brachas. Okay, that's the guy with the brachas. But there's a problem with the mitzvah we find in Shas, but other mitzvahs. Okay, fine. That's the Gemara, and then let's finish up. Finish up the Gemara. My kamash milan. What's the chiddush? What's the chiddush or blows of tzadok? So Gemara answers, "Lo diacha kama hayu zrizin b'mitzvahs," to show how fastidious you are in mitzvahs. And Stephen made a great ha'ara in Seder that usually zrizin b'mitzvahs is alacrity, running to do it. But you see, it's more. There's another tier to zrizin, and that is to make sure that you do it in a way that it won't fall and get broken. You follow me? And you show how much you love it too as well. We were bothered by why it doesn't say chavivin. Chavivin was used earlier in the Amud. Regarding Rabbi Gamliel, why he spent $1,000 on the lulav. So Gemara says, "Chaviv, kama mitzvahs chavivin alim." Show how dear they are. He had no problem shelling out $1,000. Here in Lamais, it's a similar thing, but to make sure that acha ein masol v'shimuro kovet alim. So in other words, they would be so careful to hold the lulav the whole time that it wouldn't be a bother. And they weren't worried it would fall out of his hand and puzzle. So there was this mandate to show his reason also holds this notion of a level of carefulness. You follow me? That's what his reason also shows, I think. It's an excellent point what Stephen pointed out. Now I just want to point out on this that Kapos Tamarim was bothered by what was the kasha, the Gemara, of what the Chiddush was. He says, L'chura, the question, the Gemara of Reb Elazar ben Tzadok, what's the chiddush of Rav Tzadok? That's a pella. Of course he's telling us a bechiddush. What's the bechiddush? That when you say Kriya Shema, you daven, you can hold the lulav. Because you might have thought that it's usher. Remember when we read the Gemara? So what's he asking? My kamash malam. What's the Gemara asking? What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that you're allowed to hold that when you're davening. That's the kasha of the Kapos Tamarim. So the Kapos Tamarim wants the answer. Vadai Rav Elazar ben Tzadok was not trying to be mechadesh, that it's mutter to daven when the lulav is in your hand. That he said already, yatsumi beisav lulav biyodo. And he says, but when he says in the holok lavakar choyl nacham aveilim, that's what the Gemara is asking. You follow what I'm saying? As the Gemara is asking, it wasn't asking on lamaisum. It wasn't asking on, oh, that's a chiddush you can hold a lulav in your hand. We thought maybe you could only do a machzor, we said. Remember before? We said only things that are mitzvahs. So maybe if you're yatsa lulav already, maybe you shouldn't be able to hold it. So that's definitely a chiddush. The Gemara's kasha was on the second part of the brisa. What's the big deal when he's mevaker chayla and he's menachem avol, he has a lulav in his hand? That's the kasha, my kamash mlan, on the second part of the tosefta. First part of the tosefta was an obvious chiddush, that it's okay to what? That it's okay to hold on to the lulav. You might have said it's only a bonus, you're yotzi already, but lamaisa, that's the chiddush that he wanted to what? He wanted to bring out Lomai. So that was definitely chiddush. The kasha of my kamash mlan was on the second part of the brisa. What's he holding the lulav for when he's back at home? Nachman Avin. The Gemara says he's in mitzvahs. Now, the Svasemis, I want you to get the Svasemis as well. That was the Kapas tomorrow. Dir Maskel Tanya. The Svasemis and Dir Maskel Abba points out that there is a chiluk between the Anshei Yushalayim and Amemar, who was the Gemara before. The Anshei Yushalayim would hold the lulav the whole day. So, if you're a person that holds the lulav the whole day, there's much more of a heter to hold it during davening, since you're used to it. But Amemar would not hold it all day. Okay? He was learning all day, Mestoma. So, he only held it during davening. So you might add a Havamina, and that's what the Gemara asked, since he wasn't used to doing it the whole day, maybe it should be us to hold, just like it's us to hold your tefillin and Sefer Torah during davening, right? Since you're not ruggled, since you're not used to holding it, so that was the Gemara's kasha. That's what the Svasemis distinguishes between the Hanhaga of Ameimar and the Hanhaga of Nanshu Shalayim. Ameimar was only what? During tefillin. So Gemara was asking, maybe he's not used to it, it's a problem. Nanshu Shalayim, that's what they did the whole day, so that's a double plushin. But the Gemara was asking, put it together, the Kapas Gemara, is the second part, why are you holding the lulav during Nicholas of Elim, the Vakar Chaylim? Okay. So that's the Chiddush in this Gemara. And this opens a whole Mahalat, guys, that we have to do now, B'zat Hashem, to understand this Mahalat. Let's just see Rashi. Rashi says, Kori v'Torah, Sarach l'anich, alulav l'fisha golo. Sefer Torah Apostle. He's got to open the Sefer Torah. He's got to roll in and open. Nicholas of Esamenish Tarim Mishmaitza. He's going to be concerned with learning Yipol Miyotah. We're afraid it's going to fall out of his hands. So Rashi learns it's a problem of the Lulav, right? The Rabbeinu Yonah or Miyotah. So Lulav says it didn't in the davening. Okay. So it's interesting. You know, the Rambam was a big tzaddik. You know that. I don't need to tell you that. He was a holy tzaddik. He lived 1135 to 1204. Now he writes in his Hakdama to the Yad HaChazaka. You know what he writes? He says, after I'm all finished, all you need is a Tanakh and my Sefer. Because he quotes all the Dinim and Shas. He was a tzaddik. He wasn't a Balgaiv. I don't need to tell you that. But that's what you have in the Sefer. But every so often, the Rambam will write the words Yeroyal Li. What does Yeroyal Li mean? I have a Chiddush. Okay? So the Rambam has a stunning Chiddush here. Thank you for bringing this in, Yosef. The Rambam writes in Pirik Yedalad, Halacha Zayin, in Hilchos Avil, Rambam says, I have a Chiddush, Yeroyali. And he says, Yeroyali, Shenachamas Avelim Kodumis Lepikr Choylim. Shenicham Avelim Gimlus Chesedim Achayim Vima Mesim. Wow. Rambam says, I have a Chiddush. And the Ramah actually quotes this in Your Day. I think it's Shin Lamed Vav. He actually quotes in the parentheses from the Kolbo. He quotes it from the Kolbo. But Lamais, it's the Rambam as well. So the Rambam says, if you have to make a decision, and I want to point this out to you guys, I think it's talking about both cases. What do I mean both cases? It's talking about a case where you only have enough time to do one of the two, and it's also talking about where you have time to do both. Which one comes first? That's the simplest reading of the Rambam, that he's talking about both scenarios. So the Rambam writes that Nichum Aveilun beats out Pikr Choylim. Because Nichum Avel is a chesed with the chayim, the people that are sitting shiva, and it's also paying deference to the soul of the deceased with the mason. This is what the Rambam writes. Okay? Ramah quotes it from a kolbo in Your Day. It's an interesting svara. The double chesed Nichum Avel is bigger kolim, you want the guy to live. But bigger kolim entails, you know, davening for the guy when you're there. You know, when you do bigger kolim, you have to daven for the guy, that you get better. Pray to Hashem. Number two is you have to bring him anything he needs, svarim, newspaper, food. And number three is if you are born in the same mazel as him, by simply visiting him, you remove 1/60th of his illness. So Taisa says if you go 60 times, you should be healed. Taisa says it's 1/60th and 1/60th. So theoretically, it's 3,600 times, I guess you should be healed. I think so. According to Taisa? No?
Every single time, it's another 1/60th.
Is that true? I thought it was 3,600, then it comes out to, no? 1/60th, 1/60th.
Does it add up 1/60th or after?
I don't know, it's a good question. It could be very good, Stephen. I don't know, it could be. But Lamai said that's what Bikur Cholim entails, and what beats it out? Nicham Aveu. Okay. So the Or Sameach writes, get it down. He writes one line here that this Rambam is against our Gemara. Because our Gemara, when it listed the schedule, the Sadiq Yushalayim, It says they were first Mavakar Choylin, then Menachem Oval. It's a Bam Kasha. Now, I gave you the Rosh. What Simon was the Rosh? Mem Aleph? Luzlamet Vav? Thank you, Stephen. Very good. The Rosh in Sukkah, if you read it closely, and it's backed up by Ksav Yad Minkin. It's amazing. We don't have the Dukduke Sofrim in Sukkah. We only had the second Chelik in Shas. But the Ksav Yad Minkin is like the Rosh in the Tur. It's an amazing thing. That if you read it closely, what's the Gersuk? It's flipped. It first says they were Menachem Oval and then Mavakar Chayla. You got that? So maybe you can answer the Kasha or Samech right away and just say the Ram had a different Gersa. What Gersa? He had the Gersa of the Rosh, which is also recorded in Ksav Yad Minkin, which is the Munich edition of the Shas. No? Wouldn't that answer the Kasha beautifully? Yes. Problem is that the Rambam, there's another Rambam in Hilchos Luluf, where he records the what? The schedule the Shalai, of the Tzadikim Yishalayim in Perek Zayin Halacha Chaf Dalet. Perek Zayin Halacha Chaf Dalet. And guess what he writes? He records it exactly the way we have it in our Shas. So now you have a double Kasha. The Ram's against our Gemara. And the Ram of Ovel's against our Gemara. And number two, the Ram is Soser himself. From Hilchos Ovel to Hilchos Luluf. So it's like a double kasha now. And we need to come up with a mahalak to try to answer this, because you cannot simply say the Rambam that here's the Rosh, because he doesn't. Look in Hilchos Luluf, he didn't have it. So we need to embark upon a mahalak to try to frame for this kasha. Okay? So, there's a beautiful mahalak I saw many, many years ago from our Rav Agon Rav Zhulti Zatzal in the Nishtas Yaivitz in Yordaya in Simen Lamed Zayin. Now, I want to note to you, before we embark upon this Mahalach, I do want to note to you that the Shach in Yordaya, in Simen Shin Lamed Vav there, I believe it is, quotes in the name of the Bach, and this is the following, that when do we paskin the Nicham Avelim comes before Bikur Cholim? He says that's only when you have enough time to do only one of the two. But in a Hanami, if you have time to do both, he writes Beferes, the Shach in the name of the Bach, you must do Bikur Cholim first before Nicham Avelim. So he actually makes a split in those two scenarios. Halach l'maisa. You have time to only do one of the two, you do Nicham Avelim. If you have time to do both, you do Bikur Cholim and then what? And then Nicham Avelim. You hear what I'm saying? Now, I'm not talking about Pekuch Nefesh. Pekuch Nefesh, obviously you got to go to the Cholim first. I'm not talking about doing that. So I'm talking about he might need you. And therefore we assume on a practical level Bikur Cholim comes first. It's a chiddush. But that's what... So I was thinking, if you say like that, Shach in the name of the Bach, right, maybe you could have given an answer to the Orsam Eskash on the Rambam. Meaning that what? When did the Rambam say that Nichum Avelim beats out Bikur Cholim? He said that only in a case where you have enough time to do one of the two. But the Tzadikim Yushalayim was, they had time to do both, and the Ram would agree that Bikur Cholim, what, came first. Okay, now that I thought would have been a plausible answer, but that also would have been wrong based on the Ram in the Hilchos Luluf. Ram says, Beferish Nicham Avelim than Bikur Cholim. You follow me? Plus the fact that Orsamech somehow did not like my answer. But it doesn't fit in the Ram anyway. Maybe that's why he didn't like it. But I'll tell you all, even without that, when you learn the word Kodim, in the Ram of Sovel, Kodim means both scenarios. Nicham Avelim, plain and simple, beats out Bikur Cholim. Kodim in both scenarios. Number one, in the case where you only have enough time to do one. And number two, if you have time to do both, you know? Kodim means both. So that's why I think also the Orsamech didn't like my answer. My answer's wrong anyway. It wouldn't have fit the Ram of Sluluf. But I want you to get it down to as a thought process. So, Lamaisa, that's the way the Shach, though, says the name of the Bach, Halach Lamaisa. He's not trying to answer the kasha and sneer in the Rama. He's just trying to say, modify the Ramah. When the Ramah said, when did Nicham Avelim beat up Bikur Cholim? Only in case we only have enough time to do one of the two. But if you have a time to do both, Bikur Cholim wins. Okay. Now, let's embark upon this Mahalach, which is a tremendous, tremendous Chiddush. Okay? Let's start with the Gemara In Masechta Shabbos on Kuf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, I gave you the Gemara. In Masechta Shabbos, I gave you the Gemara number 11. Kuf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says like this: Amar of Yehuda, May Shein Lo Menachem Hochan Asara Bnei Adam Yoshuun Bimkoymoi. Rav Yehuda the Amora said there was someone who died who had no seven relatives. God forbid. We had a case like this in Yeshiva with the great Gaon. The great Gaon, the Talmud of the Rav, remember him? He was blind, Talmud Chacham, great Gaon, Rav Winnecker. I forgot. I can't believe I'm not remembering his name. He was a great tzaddik, and when he passed away, we had minyanim in his apartment. Okay, I can't believe I forgot his name. It was a great Gaon. So he claims. So we did this. I'm reviewed a mace and no menachem. How can the sarab and yoshbim koma? A mace that has no menachemim, 10 people should go to the place and sit in his place. Okay? And the Rambam writes in Pirk Yigimel Chos Avalach Adalad mace shein lo avaylim lisnachem boy masarab and yarem ksherim yoshbim koma shall call shivas yimei avaylis shar amikabs and lamb. So the 10 guys go there and they act like avaylim. The rest of the community, rest of the city is menachem them. Yes? Now the Ravid writes in there, Amar Avram, Ezeh Ein Lo Shorish. What does Ezeh Ein Lo Shorish mean? He says he doesn't know what the Ram's talking about. It has no root. What do you mean it has no root? Ram's just quoting the Gemara. The Gemara said this, no? What do you mean it has no root? The Ravid's a Pella. No, what's Ram? What's going on here? So, the Migdalos, I want to offer 3 pshatim on what the Ravid was driving at. The Migdal Oz says the Rambam, the Ravi was bothered by the Rambam adds on. I didn't read that part, but the Rambam says if you don't have 10 kavua, you're supposed to gather what? 10 other guys from the nation. So the Migdal Oz says that's what the Ravi was asking on. The Ravi was asking on. He was saying, Lamaisa, where'd you get that from? Where'd you get that from? That if you don't have 10 guys, you have to gather other people. Okay? That's what the Rambam says here. Okay? In Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Dalet. I'll read his Lashon. He says, Meishin lo avelim, lisnachin boi masar b'nei adam b'ksherim yoshim and koman, kol shivas a yimei avelis v'sharam miskapsalim, v'imla yusham asara kfuim b'chol yom v'yom miskapsal sar misharam yoshim and koman. And then the Ravid says, Ein lo shorish. So that's what the Migdalos wants to say. And how does he defend the Rambam? Because the Gemara has a story there that Rav Yehuda gathered 10 guys to stay there. So smashma, there weren't 10 kavua, he would have to gather them. So that's how he defends the Rambam. Okay? That's the Migdal Oz's pshat. What's the Radbaz's pshat? The Radbaz's pshat was that the Ravid was arguing on the Rambam that they should have to stay there all 7 days, the whole day. Rambam seems to say they have to stay there all 7 days. The Ravid says that's ridiculous. Doesn't mean they have to not go to work for all 7 days. It means they have to be there at Minyan. Just means they have to be there at Minyan morning and evening when the rest of the people come and visit them. So the Radbaz defends the Rambam, says the Rambam never meant to say that what? They have to sit there all day. Never meant to say that at all. Only in the time when people come to visit, like at the Minyanim times. Okay, that's a second way to read the Rambam Ravid. And the third way is the Lechem Mishnah. What does the Lechem Mishnah say? Lechem Mishnah says the Rav was holding completely on what the Rambam said, that they should be like Avelim, that you should treat them like Avelim Mamish. That's what bothered him, that you treat them like Avelim. The Lashon that he says, you treat them like Avelim, that they have to sit. The Gemara only said they sit there, but doesn't say they have to what? That they have to come and menachem them kavelim. The Rambam says they have to sit there, and then Lamais, the rest of the nation comes in. The Gemara never said the rest of the nation comes in to menachem them. It just says they have to sit there. That's what the Lechem Mishnah says the Rava was bothered by. The Gemara only said they have to sit there, not that the rest of the community comes in and it's menachem them. That was the Rambam's addition. That's why he says Ein Lo Shorish. So I imagine the Rambam would respond and say, listen, you're not a real Avil until what? Until people come and achem you. So it would follow from that, right? So, Lamaisa, you got to ask yourself, What is the nature of that? What is the nature of this? You follow what I'm saying? What's the nature of this aveilus? Of the nature of this nicham aveilus? Remember we said there's two-pronged elements when you talk about nicham aveilim. One is kavod chayim, the reference to the relatives, and one is kavod ames. Yes? So when you menachem avol these 10 guys who are not really relatives, what are you fulfilling with the nicham aveilim? Says the Miri. You know what the Miri says? Plain and simple, kavod ames. Because they're not real relatives. They are not real relatives, plain and simple. The Miri writes this right on that Gemara and Shabbos Kuf Nun Beis Amadav. I'll quote you. The Zel Lashon Mei Shein Lo Menachem and Rotzel Lo Mar Shein Avelim Shiut Srichim Le Nachaman Boyim Asara Bnei Adam Kol Shiva Vyoshim Lehem Bebeis Bebeis Shein Sham Meis U Boyim Achirim Mekifin Otsam Kibu Heim Atzrichim Le Nachem The Zel Kvodo Shel Meis. That's the punchline. So it comes out, according to the Rambam, what we just did is we dug up a case where you could have what? You could have a case of Nicham Avelim that's only Kavod Ames and not Kavod Chaim. That's the Miri of this case. Daniel, you follow me? We just dug up a case you could have Nicham Avelim that doesn't have a two-pronged chesed. I'll give you another example. The Mishnah says in Brachas on Tetzayin and Beis. You familiar with the Mishnah? Rabbi Gamliel is Mekabel Tanchumim for Tevi. Who is Tevi? Tevi was his Evi Knaini. Now, an Evi Knaini has no relatives up here then. He's bought off the slave market, given milu b'tfilu. He's chayav mitzvahs like a regular Jewish woman, but he has no relatives. Why was Rabbi Gamliel mekabel tanchumim for Tevi Avda? Wasn't his relative. So you know what the Rashba says there? The Rashba says over there, because he was such a great Avda, he was like a son. Chaviv kibno. What's our answer according to Rav Zhulti? That all that was over there was kavod of what? A mace. It was not kavod chayim. It was an address in which they could show deference to the neshama of Tevi Avdo. So we just dug up a second scenario where you could have Nicham Avelim that's covered on this, correct? So I want you to keep that in mind, okay? Now we get a little bit of an inkling to try to answer the kasha on the Rambam. Because we just dug up a case where you could have what? You could have Nicham Avelim that's only a chesed with the mace and the covered chaim. What was the Rambam's rationale why Nicham Avelim beat out Bikur Cholim? Because Nicham Avelim is a two-pronged chesed as opposed to Bikur Cholim, yes? Yeah, because only want the guy to stay alive. So I'm just gonna set it up for you guys. If you follow the reasoning out of Sof, this Mahalach, then if I would give you a case of Bikur Cholim against Nicham Avelim that was only with the mace, covered a mace, which one do you think would win? Which one do you think would win? Bikur Cholim versus Nicham Avelim that's only covered a mace, like those two cases. I think Bikur Cholim would win. Chaim are always before the Mason. A person that's alive is Chaim and Mitzvahs. We always treat a Chaim, person alive more than a covetous Mason. Okay, of course you got a Mechabit the Mace, but compared it to. So, in other words, it comes out a very interesting Kiddush the way we're setting it up. If you follow the Ram Svara, then if I can give you Nicham Avelim versus a Bikur Cholim, but the Nicham Avelim is only covered a Mace, then it would lose out to Bikur Cholim. Oh. So, Hashtadas is Lahachi. Now that we arrived at this point, you can plug it in beautifully. Why? I'll tell you why. What happens when you do Nicham Avelim? Let's say someone loses a loved one, a Chol HaMoed, God forbid. So what do? You do the Levaya. And when does Shiva start? Shiva starts afterwards. Excellent. In fact, the last day of Yontif and Chutzlart you can count is day one. Because it's Yontif Sheni Shogalis. But what do during Chol HaMoed and then seventh day of Yontif? Is there Nicham Avelim? Yes, there is. That's what I want you to get. It's a Mishnah Moed Kodem Chavzayim Rav. It says Menachemim Avelim B'Moed. It says you are Menachem Avelim B'Moed in that scenario. Yes, you are. But we got to distill it down. Arasof, further. What do I mean? When you are Menachem Avelim B'Moed, what are you accomplishing? What are you accomplishing? So this depends upon what is the nature of the oval. Is there, for example, is there any mourning you do on Shabbos? What's the din? Does Shabbos count as a day of Shiva? Yes. Why does it count as a day of Shiva? The Ramban says because you never would have seven consecutive days of Shiva then, right? That's number one. Number two is that you do some avelus. But Farhesia, you do not. Varm Shivitzina, you do on Shabbos. private matters you do on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be with your wife. You're not allowed to bathe. Many posts would say Talmud Torah is Dvarim Shebetzina also. So absolutely, there is an element of Eilus on Shabbos. Dvarim Shebetzina are Noheg. That's no doubt. That's a Gemara. Okay? Question is, what do you do on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed? When the guy was Kovaris Meso Beregel, and they did the Levaya Chol HaMoed, the rest of the days of Chol HaMoed, and the seventh day of Yom Tov, is the guy considered to be observing private mourning like Shabbos, or is it a zero? What do you say? So this is a major machlokes. The Kesef Mishnah claims that the Rambam in Pirik Yud Halacha Gimel, I have it here, the Rambam says in Pirik Yud Halacha Gimel, Rambam has a lashon. I'm not going to read the whole lashon, just the beginning, Haragalim, Mechin Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Ein Dover, Midivrei Avelis Noik Bahen. What does Ein Dover mean? What do you think Ein Dover means, says the Kesef Mishnah? You know what it means? Zero. Even private matters are not observed on Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed. Zero. Absolutely zero. So, right, exactly. Yes, Shabbos is Beferish Gemara. We do Dvarim Shebetzina are Noeg. But on Yom Tov, the Kesef Mishnah wants to claim the Rambam says absolutely zero. So you might ask me, Stephen, why did the Mishnah say in Moikot and Menachem Avelim B'Moed if there's no Avel at all, both public and private? So the Sefer HaManig in Hilchos Esrog, Sifkat Lamed Beis, says B'Shem Rav Haigon, that he says that what it was like, they just come and ask the guy how you're doing. They come and it's not a formal Nichol Avelim, they just come and ask the guy how he's feeling. They can do anything to help him, as we don't call it a formal Nichol Avelim. Okay, it's a little bit of a difficulty how to read the Mishnah link, but that's what the Manik says, a Rishon. So the Rambam has this phenomenal Chiddush. Who argues on this? The Rosh and the Tur argue on this wholeheartedly. The Rosh and the Tur say this is unacceptable. On Shabbos, private matters are observed in Shin Sadi Tes in Yordea. So he says on Yom Tov too as well. Private matters are observed as well, and that's the way we paskin. Even Sfardim hold like the Russian and Tur. They'll observe private mourning also. We don't say there's nothing, but it's a machlokes. The Kesef Mishnah claimed the Ram that nothing should be knowing. That's against the what? That's against the Russian and Tur, who say beferish that it is knowing on Yom Tov without a doubt. So, based on this now, guys, I want you guys to plug it in for me. I want you guys to plug it in for me, the Rambam and the Rosh. Okay? How would you plug it in? Our case was what? We started off the Tzadikim Yerushalayim. And they're going to do Nichum Avelim. Is that correct? And Bikur Cholam. But it's Chol HaMoed. So what's the Rambam Shita? Is there any mourning at all? Nothing. Nothing public or private. So when you go over to visit the guy, what are you really doing with your Nichum Avelim? Right, and that would be what we would say also, covered what? Hames. You're giving deference to the mace. But it's not covered because the guy's not an oval, both on a public and a private level. So at best it is, you ask him how he's doing, but that's also showing deference to the mace. That's covered a mace. Versus what? Bikur Cholam, which is covered what kind? So here's that scenario. We drew up a third scenario now. So according to the Rambam's theory, which one comes first? You guys tell me. Which should come first, covered chayim or covered mace? Bikur Cholam. That's what the Rambam writes at Berg Zion Halacha Chaf Dalet in Hilchos Luluf. But in Hilchos Avel, where we started Yeroyah Lee in Perek Yudal and Halacha Zion, he's talking about any day of the year. Not on Yom Tov. So if it's any day of the year, then you have the two-pronged chesed of Nichum Avelim. That beats out Bikur Cholam. And therefore the din will be that Nichum Avelim beats out Bikur Cholam. That's the Yeroyah Lee. It's amazing, no? Does it come out beautiful? That's how it answers the steer in the Rambam. Answers the steer in the Rambam very beautiful. Mamish. very neatly. And now we could also plug in the Shita of the Rosh and the Tur. Because what was the Shita of the Rosh and the Tur? Is there Avelis on a private level on Kol Hamoed and Yom Tov? What do we say? According to the Rosh, yes, there is. So that means, according to the Rosh, you have a choice between Bikur Cholim, which is Kavod Chayim, versus what? Which is Nicham Aveilin, which is on Yom Tov, according to the Rosh, accomplishes what? Both Kavod Ames and Kavod Chayim, but he's not starting Shiva yet, but he's still an Avil, at least on a what? A private level. So you stamp him as an Avil. So because of that, it still retains it being a two-fold Kesef. What's the Rosh's Gersah? He flipped the Gersah. And what was his Gersah in our Gemara? Nichum Aveli came before Bikur Cholim. So it comes out the Shitasim. Isn't that amazing? It's a beautiful Chiddush. That's what Rav Zsolti wants to write. Amazing Chiddush. Daniel, you got this? Beautiful. So it comes out that Lamaisa, comes out that they're both L'Shitasim. Okay. Now, if we take this a step further, let's take this a step further. It says in that Mishnah Moikot Nadaf of Zion, it says, Pochin is a rabbim yidei chavasim. It says, Menachem Avelim b'moed, and it says, Pochin is a rabbim yidei chavasim. What does that mean? So the Pirish on Moikotan, the Pirish and Moikotan writes, the Pirish and Moikotan writes that we tell the Yavelim at the Levaya they can go home now. That's what he's poaching the Sarabim. We exempt them from their obligation. We said that you did your job now, you can go home. That's what the Pirish, you know, the Pirish and Moikotan is not Rashi. Rashi is a separate Sefer in Moikotan. It's a compilation of Rishon. You should know that. There's a separate Sefer called Pirish Rashi on Moikotan. But that's what this parish writes. If you look in the Nemukah Yosef on the Mishnah in Moed Katan, you know what he says? He has a different shot. I'm just going to read you the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Moed Katan, Chav Zayinim and Aleph. It says, Menachem Avelim B'Moed, like I said. Umenachemim, it says, Umenachemim Pochim Misarabim. So the parish is Pochim Misarabim. Go home. You know what the Nemukah Yosef in the back of Moikon says the name of the Ravid? He says, Pochus Rab Nechavosin means if you're Menachem Avol, your friend, during that time period of Chol Hamoed or Yom Tov, you don't have to do it again after Yom Tov when he starts Shiva. Okay? Now, that's a different shot. Now, why would you think you had to? Who do you think the Ravid is learning like here? Like the Rambam. Because all you accomplish is Kavod Ames. So I would think maybe I have to go again to fulfill Kavod Chaim, because that's when he's sitting Shiva. And when I went to visit him, he had no level of availability. So, Kamashman, I'm still Yotzer. That's the Rive it seems to be going with the Rambam Sheet, I think. That's what Rav Zsolti wants to say. However, the Perish in there on the Gemara doesn't say that shot. Why not? Because they hold like the Rosh, that when you accomplish the Nicham Velim at that time, you accomplish both Kavod Ames and also Kavod Chaim. How Kavod Chaim? Because at least on a private level, he's an Avil. Granted, he hasn't started Shiva, but at least he's a private Avil, and therefore it's good. Okay, we got that? So that would also depend on this Mahalach, the Ravid against the Perish on the Mishnah, Perish on the Gemara. Daniel, you got me? So the Ravid we want to say is going with the Rambam. This also would be another nafkimina. This also would be another nafkimina with the following. There is a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin of Emzayin and Beis, I gave it to Rashi, that writes, if someone is executed by Beis Din, the family does not sit Shiva. Why does the family not sit Shiva? Because he does not attain kapara once they inter him. You know what interring is? When you bury the guy, he attains kapara immediately by most mason. But if it's executed by Beis Din, it's delayed. The kapara is delayed. Happens a little later. And the Gemara says, Kevin Nidche Nidche. What does that mean? Once it's pushed off in the beginning, it's pushed off for good. We don't sit shiva for the guy who's executed by Beis Din. Because the kapara is pushed off, and the Gemara coins this phrase, on Mem Zayin and Beis Din Sanhedrin, Kevin Nidche Nidche. Once it's pushed off, it's pushed off. Yes? So Rashi, once in a while, Rashi asks kashas too. Rashi asks a kasha on the Gemara, not just places. He says, I don't understand. Why do you say in that case, Kevin and Nidche, Nidche, once it's been pushed off, it's pushed off. Why don't you say that same principle on a Kovar Meso Berego? What does Kovar Meso Berego mean? What do we say when do you start Shiva? You said, Stephen, after Yontif. Why don't you say once it's pushed off, it's pushed off? You buried him a Cholomoy. You didn't start Shiva. Why don't you say Kevin and Nidche, Nidche? That's Rashi's kasha. Just like you said about a Rosh who was executed, and he didn't sit shiva, why don't you say the same thing by Kovaris Mesel? That's Rashi's kash over there in Mem Zayin and Mebes. So Rashi gives the following answer, and I want to interpret it differently than Rizulti. Rashi says, the reason why it's not pushed off completely, Hussam Lidku Lagami Shar Iske Rabim Noeg Berego, Shemenachim Oso Kolorego. He says it does get off the ground because they're Menachimim. It does get off the ground that they're Menachemim. What does that mean? It was initiated. It was initiated. So if it was initiated, you don't say Kevin Nidche Nidche. How was it initiated? So I want to suggest, against Rav Zhulti, that Rashi's assuming, like the Rosh in the tour, that there is private Avelis on that time period, even though it's before it's on Yontif, even though it's before the Shiva. And since there's a private what? Since it's a private mourning, and that is accentuated by the fact that the guys are visiting you. They're not just paying deference to Kavod HaMeis, it's Kavod Chaim too. So don't tell me it didn't get started. It did get started. Granted, the Shiva didn't get started, but the Avelis was started at least on a private level. So I want to say Rashi holds like the Rosh in the tour. See, Rav Zhulti wants to say the Rashi only wrote that they visited him. He didn't say anything about him being what? About him being an oval. That dvarim shebetzina are knowing. I'm assuming that Rashi's building upon that. You understand what I'm saying? Rashi's saying they're visiting him. I'm building upon the fact that dvarim shebetzina are knowing. He's saying, no, the fact that Rashi didn't write it must be Rashi holds like the Rambam. I don't want to say that. I want to say that the Rashi's holding like who? Like the Russian tour, that it did get started on a private level. That's why they are coming to Menachem. I don't think it's Ikr Chosim. Rashi is assuming that you know that the Dvarim Shebetzina are knowing, and they came to Menachem. Whereas the Yad Ramah, what's next to you? The Yad Ramah gives a different teretz to that kasha. What's the Yad Ramah's teretz? You know what the Yad Ramah says? It's a time impediment issue. It's just technical. When something's technical, Yosef, that does not make it Kevin and Nidche Nidche. A guy who's a Russian that's executed, that's an intrinsic problem. Then you say Kevin and Nidche Nidche. This is just a time impediment. You just got to wait till afterwards. That's not called Kevin and Nidche Nidche. So I want to say that's what the Rambam would answer, like the Yad Ramah. So I want to say Rashi holds like the Rosh in the tour, that private mourning is observed, and the Yad Ramah holds like the Rambam, that you have to come out of this time impediment answer, that's a technical issue, and that doesn't shaft, that the register is giving Nidche Nidche. So that's how I want to answer the steer between who? I want to answer the steer between the Rambam and the what? I want to answer the machlokes to the Rambam in the Yad Ramah on one hand against Rashi in the tour. That's what I want to suggest. Even the Rav Zhulti had a Diuk and Rashi saying boom fakir, but this is what I want to suggest. Yes, go ahead, Steve. You're very patient. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I'm assuming. I mean, I'm saying it could be his shot is better than mine, but I just thought that it bothered me that Rashi would hold like the Rambam that the first reason are not knowing. Number one, and number two, I mean, Rashi, you could say, you could read it into Rashi. Rashi's saying they're coming to Menachem because you have a private level of mourning. That's what I want to, that's what I want to suggest. Halacha l'maase, I mean, I think that's a good way of reading it in that sense. Okay? All right. Now, this brings us to the following. It's a little bit of a difficulty, but let's see if we can come up with an answer. There is a Mishnah, it's actually a Braisa rather, Mesechah Shabbos on Daf Yud Beis and Aleph that says, Ein menachem avelim ve'mevakrin cholim b'shabbos diri b'shamim b'sil matirin. We obviously, whenever there's a machlis b'shamim b'sil, we always hold like who b'sil. So it says you're allowed to menachem avel and mevakrin cholim according to b'sil on Shabbos. What's the problem? What did it mention first on the list? It said menachem avelim first, right? And lemaisa, why is that? Because of our theory. On Shabbos, Tvarim Shibitzina are no egg, so therefore there's a two-pronged Ketzvot Nicham Avelim, Bitzah Bikacholim. Yes? That fits beautifully in the Lashon of Raisa, no? That Nicham Avelim comes before Bikacholim, but we got a problem. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, the Birchav Dalin, Alacha Hey, believe it or not, I'll read it to you, he says, Kasav Umavakrin Cholim Menachem Avelim. Oh, Gavalt. He says, "Mevakrim cholim menachem aveilim." That's a difficulty. Why does he mention bikacholim first? It's only one chesed. Nicham aveilim has a twofold chesed. That's a bam kasha. So you could say the following. Maybe what you could say is that maybe what the Rambam here is discussing is not Kedima, whether which one comes first. He's just pointing out the general din that Bikacholim Menachem Avelim on Shabbos. But in a Hanami, if we would come to you a triage decision on Shabbos, you know what would come first? The Nicham Avelim would come first. So, you know, whereas Mashenki and Ilchos Lulav, where he's listing off the actual schedule, the Tzadikim Nishalayim, it's mashma that they did Bikr Cholim before Nicham Avelim, which makes sense according to what we said, because it's only because of Kavod Ames. Yes? So maybe that's how you could get out of the Rambam. It's a little difficult, though, just to say the Rambam's not talking about the Din Kedima. But Lamaisa, that's a way of saying it. I wasn't thinking, Rav Shulti suggested it in the previous paragraph. You know what the Rambam's talking about when he says Shabbos? All Shabbos of the year, including even what? Shabbos Chol Hamoed, excellent. And on Shabbos Chol Hamoed, what do you do in Shabbos Chol Hamoed? There the Nicham Avelim is only Kavod Ames, so therefore Bikr Cholim Lamaisa comes first. So therefore, because he had to get in all the Shabbos of the year, he put Bikr Cholim before what? He put Bikr Cholim before Nicham Avelim. That's a little bit of an interesting shot, but the whole theory of Beis Hillel that you can do Nicham Avelim on Shabbos is Letzara Cholim. And that's dark of your own sirs. You know, it's also to inspire yourself on Shabbos. You go to the hospital, you might become depressed. No. It's more important you visit the guy than you being depressed. And the truth of the matter is, we're going to get to the Rambam. The Rambam says, all these mitzvahs, what do I mean these mitzvahs? Nicham Avelim, Bikr Cholim. What does the Rambam say in Pirkei Avot Halacha Aleph? That they're all the Rabbanans, but a kiyum of a haftal rech kamocha. Famous Rambam, Pirkei Avot Halacha Aleph. It says, they're written the Vakach Cholim, Nicham Avelim. He says they're all kiyum of afterlech kamocha, but they're all mitzvahs from the Rabbanan. The Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachas claims that Dir Maskel Kavru Yud Aleph and Beis Dabei Arif says that Tanchumi Avelim is the Araisa, and therefore he says it's Docha the Isser of Tsar, his own Tsar on Shabbos. That's that theory. So maybe you could say that it's including all types of Shabbos and Shabbos Chol Hamoed. So he put Bikr Cholim before. Nicham Avelim. Because in Shabbos Chol Hamoed, the Nicham Avelim is only covered on Meis, and Bikr Cholim is covered Chaim, beats it out. Could also say, as I said, the Rambam is not talking about the Din of Kedimin, Lamaisa, but it's a Chiddush. It's a big Chiddush, Lamaisa, to say such a thing, but Lamaisa, this is what we want to tie into, to say the Rambam is not talking about Din Kedimin, okay. Just telling you when not to do it, but it's a little bit difficult to say like that. That's why you come on to the answer. Maybe it's talking about all Shabbos is even Shabbos Chol Hamoed. Okay? All right. Now, Refran Shlita, the great Gaon, the Sefer Ali Yisachar, has a kasha from Reb Shlomo Berman. Reb Shmuel Berman wrote a Sefer called Ashel Shlomo. He was a great Gaon. He was a Rav in Ponovich. And I believe he was the Stipler's brother-in-law. And he knew Shas and the Shirim were incredible. And he asks Akasha in the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where do you think, and I want you to get this down, The Rambam Pirkei Dalet Alach Avin Chas Avil lists all the mitzvot Rabbanon. He says when you do the mitzakim of Afterech Kamocha, what are they? One of them is what? Know what one of them is? Bearing a mace. Afa bishkom mitzelim midivrayim harihein bichlav Afterech Kamocha. Anything you do, you want other guys to do for you. So what does this mean? These are all rabbinic mitzvahs of the kim of Afterech Kamocha. What's the problem? Because you're partnering with your achicha b'mitzvahs. Yeah? Do you know where a friend asks in a sefer? How could kfura be on that list? The guy's dead. Someone who's dead is chafshim in a mitzvahs. He's not reyach of a mitzvah. So how could the Rambam list him there? Oh, that kfur is a din and what? Afkolrech kamocha, chich of a mitzvah. The guy's dead. That was his kasha. That's number one kasha. Number two kasha, Shlokal Berman asks, where does the Rambam place the din of Bikra Cholim in Nichma Velim? He puts it in mitzvah ches, which is what? Imitating Hashem's good ways. All those mitzvahs, Lamais, he says, are all manifestation of Ha'alach Bedrochov. So if that's the case, they're all manifestation of Ha'alach Bedrochov, what does he ask? It should be in the mitzvah of Ha'afkorech Kamach, which I think is Chavav, but it's not in this edition. I thought it was mitzvah Sese Chavav. We got to find exactly where it is. But he was bothered by why the Rambam put it in, you know, that's the Latin phrase, Imachachim Dei. Imitate Hashem's ways, Gemara says in Sota, you can't, he'll consume you. But imitate His ways, though. That's what it means. Well, after the walk in His footsteps, you touch Him and get burned. But just like He's a Mavaka Cholim, so too we're Mavaka Cholim. So too is Menachem Avelim, we're Menachem Avelim. So too is Malbish Arum, we're Malbish Arum. Goes through the whole thing. So if it goes through the whole thing, that's considered to be Achicha B'mitzvahs. Right? So V'Halach B'drachav tells me to do all those things. Why didn't he put him after Rech Kamocha like he does in the Yad HaChazaka? The Yad HaChazaka, all these are rabbinic mitzvahs that fulfill the kiyum of after Rech Kamocha. Those are the two kashas. You got it? Number one is how could Kfur Sameis be on the list? The guy's dead. You're not partnering with someone in mitzvahs. Number two is, why did the Rambam say mitzvahs put this whole mahalach under what? Balach Bedrochov. Should be under the mitzvah of after Rech Kamocha. So what's the answer? So I want you guys to get this. The answer's like this. It's a beautiful answer. Wants the Taina that the point of doing these mitzvahs, the rabbinic actions, are to get a feeling. That just like you want a feeling for yourself, a positive feeling, you have to do that for your friend. That's what it means. So the Rambam is saying that's why it's in V'halach Bedrochav. V'halach Bedrochav means that you have to imitate Hashem's ways, but you have to do actions the Rabbanan prescribe that will get you that feeling. But the Ikar of the Mitzvah is not necessarily V'afkorech Kamocha. V'afkorech Kamocha is what is, you know, the Gemara has it, Bro, let me see, you often choose a good piece of rope, so I said, what does that have to do with V'afkorech Kamocha? It means, on Hagis, it's a very big Kiddush, but it means, whatever Afterech Kamocha means, it means be a good fellow, but these actions that Rabbanu Masakin and do, Bikur Cholim Nichum Avel, were addresses, were vehicles, in order to get the feeling. So it's not, it really is under the rubric of Afterech. It's not appropriate to be under Afterech Kamocha. He wants to suggest such a big Kiddush that if you went to the hospital, visit someone, and the guy was already discharged, and you had such a positive feeling, you're ready to help the guy, you yotze. Amazing. You be yotze. I didn't visit the guy, doesn't make a difference. That's just a vehicle to get to that feeling. And conversely, as I was talking to Rosolovsky, if you went to visit a guy and you had no feeling at all, maybe you wouldn't be yotze either. Because you need to have this feeling, Lamaisa. And that's why he puts it under what? Balach de Bedrochov. Bachorech Kamocha and Mitzvah Chafav, I think it was. I didn't find it there. But Akhbarov is mitzvah ches. Thought about Akhbarov, come on, what's chavah, but not in this one, in this edition. But nonetheless, the reason why it's in Akhbarov is because you want to have that feeling that you care so much. That you care so much, and the action is the way to get to that vehicle. Mahu rachum afatarachum. Makadosh Baruch Hu Nikra Tzadik Avata Tzadik, which itself is a Chiddush. Sifkis is not really a Midin, right? That was the Rosh Koil Shlitim saying, once discussed that. Rachum is a Midin. But nonetheless, what I want you to get out of this is that that's why you may be Yotze even if the guy's not there. Conversely, if you didn't have a happy face, you didn't really care when you went, then you wouldn't be Yotze. And that answers the question why Gvuras Mace is on the list. Why is Gvuras Mace on the list? That's a rabbinic mitzvah, but it's a kiyum of after rechamach. What do you mean a kiyum after rechamach? Achikim mitzvah. The guy's dead. The answer is the whole pool is just that I should have that feeling. So even if the guy's dead, I could be Yotze after rechamach. You follow me? That I have that feeling, but it's accentuated with Lach L'Rochem. Lach L'Rochem is Mechan is that feeling. Could be Vavberech Kamocha is just it's a kium of that. You're right. So, but Vavberech Kamocha is more practical. The feeling of that what I should get to that feeling. I really care about this guy through the Mice is really what's Lach L'Rochem. Vavberech Kamocha is much more practical. It will fall under that as a kium, but it's not really the central mitzvah. It's not really the central mitzvah. So that's how Refrain Shlita wanted to forever. It's based on the great Gaon Asher Lishlomo, why it fit in Balach to Bedrochav and not after Lerech Kamocha. Even though in the Yad HaChazaka it's a kium of it, but it's not per se the description of this mitzvah. And that answers why by Kfura you also fulfill this mitzvah. And maybe even if you went to the hospital and wasn't there, you'd be Yotze. And if you went, also it was there, and you didn't have that feeling, maybe you weren't Yotze. Okay. Now, Lamaisa, this leads us to what some dinim I want to get to about Vahaftal Recha Kamok, about the Nicham Avelim. Let's get to some of the dinim that we have, very important, Lamaisa, about Nicham Avelim. Comes out that we should get these dinim klor, Lamaisa. We know what the psak is with the shach name of the back. If you have enough time to do one of the two, only one of the two, then what do? You do Bikur Chol. If you have time to do both, I'm sorry. If you only have enough time to do one of the two, you do Nicham Avelim, remember? If you have time to do both, you do Bikur Chol first, you might need you. Not in the case of Kuf Nefesh, but in such a vein. You need help. So it comes out. I want to get some details now about this mitzvah of Nicham Avelim. So let's get it. Comes out that there's some particulars that people don't realize. And I want to start with the following. Okay? An Avol sits on the stool, small chair, within 3 tefachim to the ground. And the Menachemim, says the Shach, they sit on a kisei, or a regular bench. So they're never equally sitting in the same place. This is what the Shach writes in Yordaya. Also, number two, that's number one. Number two, Rabbi Kivager's Mechadosh and Simon Shinai involve that our minhag is never to take anything out of the house. No food, smallest or biggest thing. Not supposed to take any food out of the house because the Ruach Tumah is on it for all the Shiva. Some are makel on this, but you should know the Rabbi Kivager. What happens if someone did not Menachem the guy talk Shiva, you met him talk Shloshim? It's mutter to give him Birkas Tanchumim Hanahuga. But after 30 days, you should just say Tisnachim. After 30 days, you just say you should be comforted. But a father and mother, you can comfort all 12 months. A father and mother, you can comfort all 12 months.
They lost a father and mother, or they are a father and mother that lost?
No, al avivimo. So the guy lost a father and mother, you can knock him all 12 months. If it's another spouse that he lost, after 30 days, you just say, Tisnachen. Okay? All right. Let's continue now. What do we say about the following din? Okay? When the Avel shakes his head, he acknowledges the Menachemim that they could go now, then you're not allowed to sit anymore. You don't want to matriarch with the guy. And Stavkor is very clear that he's, you know, he's tired and Lamais, he's letting him go. So that means you go. When he gives you the signal, you go. You never say to an Oval, sit. Why? Because that might imply sit in your Avelus. An Oval should not say, You understand what I'm saying with this chiddush? That's the chiddush we want to bring out. You never say sit because it might give that implication. And the Aval should never say, oh, he's never been punished yet for his actions yet. Because you don't want to be potef, pel, or sotten. Then God forbid he could lose one of the seven relatives. Because we assume that losing one of the seven relatives, there is a notion of introspection. It says that if someone dies in the chaburah, yidag kol chaburah. Kol chaburah, the whole family should do introspection. Also, you're never supposed to say, if you're a menachem, what could we have done? Never supposed to say that, ever. Never supposed to say what could be done. It's impossible to change. It's like implying that if you could, you would have changed the gzera of Hashem. That's like blaspheming Hashem. It's unacceptable. And therefore, very strong, the Ramos is not to say it. However, the Taz, in the name of the Marshal, Doch of the Yisr to say, what could you do? Because David HaMelech said about his first son that died from Batsheva, Ha'ochel Hashiva O'od, Mashma, that if he could have returned it, he would have done it. So based on that, the Taz says, Mashin Marshal, there's no problem in saying it. So it's interesting, Machlaikis, whether you're allowed to say, what could you do? What can you do? You know, are they, Chova, Menachem, Menachem, Sechel, Das? Can't say, oh, what could you do? Okay. Now, what words of encouragement should we say? Amaki Menachem Eschem. To the Abel, you say, oh, Schah. Interesting. So, Sharach, what is the Lamed? There's only one Abel. Then that's what you say. Okay, interesting.
I've heard that it's always Lachem.
What did you say?
I've heard that there's a sheet. I've heard a different sheet that it's always, you always say Lachem because it's like the Shedin is resting with them, so they. So it's like.
I gotcha.
You and God.
So therefore you want to say
I'm not going to be because
you're comforting Hashem too?
Like, yeah, because they're
Hashem very
like
good.
Them, so it's always
excellent, very good.
It's different.
Well, could be. Stephen, you what were you going to say? Okay, good. Very good. Now let's continue on this Lamaisim. This is a very interesting Shiloh. Must an Oval get up before a Nasi should be Israel? As he's sinning Shiva, you have to get up. The Ramah says no. Because everyone's chayav to get up for the nasi except for the oval and the chaylim. Why? Levush says because the oval's Torah b'tzar, and it's not a kima shel hitter. So Levush says it's the oval's Torah b'tzar, and the Shvus Yaakov says it's not a kima of glorification because you're mourning. So the Gideon Marashar of Shlomo Egerson and Shina Yavav gives a nafkamina between the two reasonings. Tisha B'Av. What is Tisha B'Av? Avela Shishana. So you're not Torah. So according to Levush, you should get up. According to Shus Yaakov, you know you don't have to. Similarly, you don't have to stand in front of your Rebbe, your father, or mother. And that's what the Gesher Chaim Kuczynski says, that stavka b'nogei l'amod b'kvodo. That's only to get up for their kavod. But things that are respect of fear, reverence, like not sitting in their place, and not interrupting the words, that for sure an Ovel's got to do. An Ovel's chayv in all mitzvahs. So I want you to make sure you get that. Okay? Just they're not chayv in the mitzvah they say v'takum, or because of Levush, or because of what? Shvus Yaakov. So Levush said because the oval is tarud, Shvus Yaakov said it's not a kimishal hitter. So Lamais, it's interesting. Would come out interesting din there. Gesher Chaim says, only Minogalic votum, Mora Lamais, that keeps. Right? That keeps. So I told Novel's not chayv in Sishon even Torah or Gomorrah Rabbah. Novel Lamais is for sure chayv in that. Halacha Lamais. Could be that he's in a state of Eretz. It's not considered to be what? Hidur. Or because of Levush, Lamais is Torah B'Tzar. Okay, it's an interesting Kiddush. Okay, let's finish up this Mahal. Please, let's get in the details of Mosa Avel. And it says in the Gemara in Moedkan Chavchesim Beis, and when you come in, it says in your day, Simon Shinai Lav Sefalev, when you enter the Beis Ovo, and when he leaves, Ein Pokdo L'Shalom. Ein Poseach L'Dabri Melam Kinhiskel Ovo L'Dabri. This is an interesting din. You're not allowed to, when you enter the Beis Ovo and you leave, you should let him open up the conversation. Some we learn this from Eve. Achrechein Pasch Eve is Piu. Achrekach Liaz Alifas. So you should let him talk first, okay? You should let him talk first, and when you go in there and you leave, you You don't say shalom. You just don't open up to speak with him unless he starts. The question is how, to what degree you take that. You want to see how he's doing, you know what I mean? So you have to sit there in silent for an hour. Maybe engage him in something about the nifter. You always should speak about the nifter. Okay. Now, what'd you say? I think so. You have to do it the first second, but maybe it's he's you know, he's feeling uncomfortable. Bring up something about the nifter, yeah.
Is there like a riot for that, or is that just like a nice thing to do?
I think it's mistabra al pi seichel al pi sfora. That's what I think. Yeah. You don't necessarily, because you're asking about the nifter, that's what you're supposed to talk about at the yeshiva house. So. Now, lemaisa, I want to get this. When is it mutter to go to the Beis Ovel? From Menachem Avelim in general. So if Shlomo Kluger in the Tuftan Vadas writes, the minig is that we don't go before 3 days. The first 3 days, we don't go during Shiva. Shloshi Yomim Lebechi. Okay? Now the Sefer Das Umezima quotes a marker for this. From Vayikra Rav Pirikas, Bar Kapar Omer, Ad Shiva Yomim Tokfo Shal Ovel, Kashal Lekam Chumim. First 3 days, it's hard for him to accept any consolation. But many Achronim argue on this, please get it. And they say if it's tough to go after the first 3 days, they can't get there. They have to go the first 3 days, then it's okay to go, even for the first 3 days. Because the bottom line is, you can menachem your friend right after Kura. And immediately when you come back from Beis HaKfaris, you go to the Beis Ovel, you sit with menachem them. So it's muchach, even the first day, it's not a problem. Just maybe diminish words. Is there any Indian of going at night? Some didn't go at night. But the Ginza Yosef Rishis Minig has no foundation. We find in Eiv that he sat 7 days and seven nights, and we find many halachos from Eiv. And it seems to be that the Le'aku Yosef writes, this Minig too is good, because Belailo we have Dinim Takifin. So maybe a lot of this reason not to, Lomaisa, but the bottom line is that we think it's wrong. If that's the only time you go Menachem Ovel at night, no problem. And he writes this, he says, especially if you have no time during the day, that's what the Geshur HaChaim writes as well. Now, what about on Shabbos and Yom Tov? We learned just now that you're allowed to, but with Koshi, they only allowed it with difficulty. Why? Why do they only allow it with difficulty? So the Sfarim are admitting to go to Beis Ovel, even on Shabbos. So that's a very big chiddush that we have to make sure we're able to go on Shabbos. And the Sfardim do this as well. Now, Lamaisa, many people don't go on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Lamoid, Purim, Chanukah, and Rosh Chodesh, Menachemim, Ashkenazim. The Menachemim, we do it on those days of Cholamoid, Purim, and Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Let's just close with the following. And that is that I mentioned before whether this is the Raisa or the Rabbanan. The Ram says the Kimo after Kamocha, and that's good for the Chiddush. I mean, the Rambam said that Nichum Avelim is only the Rabbanan, but it's a Kimo after Kamocha. He argues with Ben Yonah. He says it's Mamish the Raisa. The Chiv is the Raisa because he finds Yenachem David is Yishto David, was Menachem his wife. I want you to get that machlokes. Is it a mitzvah d'oraisa? Is it a mitzvah d'rabbanan with a kimo after a kamocha? When Rabbi Yonah d'oraisa, that Rabbi Yonah in the Mishnah of covers a mace, the chazru, chiyuv is min haTorah, and the no doubt it is, according to Rabbi Yonah. The Rambam says d'rabbanan is a kimo of after a kamocha. So that's an interesting machlokes that I want you to keep in mind. Halacha l'maaseh, very important. But it's very important that we note that you don't schmooze. You find out about the nifter. You know, what the Nifter did, what they represented, did they ever go to Eretz Yisrael, how'd they meet the couple, if one of the spouses had died. Use your seichel. You should prepare in your mind. And you come to Mechazik, and it's not just robotic and stam rote, but you have a feeling for it. That's why we don't say a bracha. Because the Rambam says, a bracha is supposed to ready you. Remember we said that? But Nicham Aven should come naturally, and you shouldn't need a bracha at all on that. It should come natural. And that's this Kiddush. Because after the Shvatim sold Yosef and they showed Yaakov his coat of many colors, it says, Vayikra Yaakov Simlosov Yasim Sak Matnav Yisabel Albano Yamim Rabim. Yakumu kolbonav nosav lanachem imayin lisnachem bo. He couldn't receive any nechama because he knew, because subconsciously he was alive. He would have received nechama if he was, God forbid, dead. But lamaisa, you see that this is so crucial, and it's a phenomenal mitzvah, and this is really what this is the mahalach we want to bring out. No one should ever have to sitshiv or menachem avo. But the bottom line is a very important mitzvah. It's therapeutic, and it's a beautiful mitzvah, and it has to be done in a proper way. In fact, the Rav said, if you see a guy you hadn't seen in 25 years, which happens many times at the Beis Ovo, you're not supposed to say hi to him in the Beis Ovo. Because the Issa of Sheila Shalom is on the whole house. Wait to schmooze with them outside, and then say hi to him then. That's the chiddush we want to bring out here. So that's what comes from this Gemara of the Nichum Aveilim and the different chiddushim that it emerges. And the bottom line is, it is a twofold chesed. But Mestamu would hold like the Shachan name in the Bach. That's only if you don't have enough time to do one of the two. You have time to do both, then Bikur Chol and Nichum Aveilim. It's a Musar Haskatus. You can't just say, I engage in chesed, I'll do whatever I want. The halacha dictates how you do the chesed. What comes first, what comes second. And it's a very important thing. So we have to keep that in mind. If you only have enough time to do one of the two, do Nichum Aveilim. If it'll be after Shiva, then the next week, then do Nichum Aveilim, then do Bikur Chol. But if you have time to do both, Bikur Chol will come first before the Nichum Aveilim. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, B'ez Hashem, we'll do some Minhag HaMeir, another topic, we have to do Chumash. And it was great seeing everybody. Shukot, everybody.